Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts Rob Fanoff and Mark Zielinski as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Joe Neat.
And I'm Mark Zielinski. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Countercharge. And I'm very happy to have our special guest, Joe Neat, with us tonight. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing all right, Mark. I appreciate you having me back on.
Oh, it's been too long, my friend. Been too long. Any exciting news in the world of Joe Neat lately?
A lot of work, a lot of school, a lot of kids. Not as much hobby in gaming as I would like, but, you know, is the way of the world.
That is the way of the world. I am stuck hip deep in it myself right now, coming back from college credit plus classes. I think I have had a school event every night this week already. It's got to stop sometime, so we will find out about that. So your kids aren't ready for that quite yet, so they're not doing the high school thing yet.
No. We won't rush that. We got a ways before that comes.
Just wait. It doesn't get any easier, Joe. It actually takes up more time. If you think that's humanly possible, that's what's coming.
Fair enough.
And speaking of hobby, just slide any hobby in at all, or?
Yeah, I mean, I've slowly been kind of, you know, plugging away at my Forces of the Abyss for Kings of War. You know, I constantly get distracted with other things. I've got a Macedonian army that I'm working on for historicals. So yeah, I mean, a lot of ins and outs going on, Walking Dead here and there when I get the time to do it. But, you know, I always kind of find to go back to Kings of War when I do finally get time at the desk.
Well, that's the big problem. There's so many cool things coming out right now, and The Walking Dead is really dominating the scene right now. I noticed, particularly on the Facebook page, man, it is all Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's, you know, it kind of, we knew it was going to be big. Obviously, it's a huge, you know, IP, even without having the, you know, the AMC side of things. And it's truly, it's probably the best game that we've had written for us. The gameplay is smooth. You know, it opens itself up to, you know, board gamers and just casual gamers. So we've been really happy with it. And yeah, I think the funny thing is that it's only been wave one. You know, we have wave two coming in May. We've got some pretty exciting stuff launching in March that we kind of did ad hoc, you know, some ancillary items, some support pieces to go along with the game that, you know, once we get everything wrapped up with Skybound, you know, we'll definitely be very excited to roll that out.
Now, is that the Rickon horse and the Morgan booster and the Governor expansion? The solo
those are already
expansion?
Out. That was part of Wave 1.
Okay, so that's part of Wave 1.
Yeah, those are out.
Yeah, I've tried to order them from, you know, the supply channel a couple of times, and I haven't had any success in trying to get a hold of them. So you think those are at the out in the distributors and everything now?
Yeah, those are going to go out in May, all the Wave 2 stuff. So okay. Distributors have all the information. They'll be getting that stuff getting put out for pre-order. So definitely let your retailers know about it if you want to grab some.
All right. I know I've got a huge thing of Wave 2 coming for the Kickstarter pledge. So are they going to be putting out more like retailer-only stuff in Wave 2?
Yeah, we're going to try to do it with each and every wave. I think currently we've got through Wave 4 done, or at least I think that was what was through the Kickstarter. And each one of those, I believe, has 2 to 3 kits that are retailer only. So again, you guys have got a lot of stuff through the Kickstarter, got the exclusives. But, you know, we wanted to make sure that we, you know, we help the retailers out on the back end. And, you know, surprisingly enough, you know, the Morgan booster and Rickon horse have certainly outperformed the others, you know, through our trade channel. So definitely very happy about that.
Well, that's because we didn't get them in the Kickstarter. I know I'm hunting them myself. So, I'm sorry, folks, that this isn't all Kings of War related, but, you know, Walking Dead's actually a good game. What's with the Governor solo version? Is that something you have to have? Or is that...
No, you don't. What we wanted to do was, you know, Ronnie's always thinking, you know, kind of on his feet about what else we can do to incorporate as many people as possible into our game. So the Prelude to Woodbury product while it is a solo play game, it's actually the easiest way to get into The Walking Dead to learn it. So obviously we encourage everybody to pick up the starter set. You know, it's only $49.99. But Prelude to Woodbury not only gives you the solo play rules, but it's a great way to introduce non-gamers into the game, because it's only the governor with, you know, a couple of walkers and the scenarios in there. And obviously the collectors at heart are going to want to have, you know, everything that we've done for the game. So it actually hits on a lot of different angles, and it's been a very popular product.
There you go. Now, are the solo rules in the main game set?
They are not. So
yeah,
you have
I didn't
to
think so.
Pick up
Prelude
to get that.
Okay.
Yep. And then the Days Gone By set, which you did get with the Kickstarter, is the set that has the character creation rules. So between those two sets, they are almost necessary to pick up if you want to enjoy all aspects of the game.
Right. I think the character create or the character creation rules are up on the website, right? You don't, because if you're a Kickstarter backer, you don't want to buy it again. So.
Yeah. No, I believe they're in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. So sorry about that, folks. But hey. As you can hear from Joe and I talking about it, The Walking Dead is something definitely worth checking out. So,
absolutely,
big game. I don't know if you know how many copies you sold or so, but I'm sure it's well north of 15K at this point. So,
oh yeah, well beyond even our expectations. We knew it was going to be large, you know, and the boosters are flying off the shelves. And yeah, it's been great. And you know, the great thing about this type of product is that it really brings people into, you know, our brand in general. So we've seen crossover into Kings of War, into Dead Zone. So it's been a real big shot in the arm. And like I said, we appreciate Skybound for giving us the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. So very, very cool. Well, I'll slide into my hobby real quick. I'm still working on my Forces of Nature army, getting ready for Army in a Weekend Spectacular. And that's going to be March 17th through the 19th. And Robbo should be done working on the masters and things like that. And so we should be able to have Rob setting up the Google Hangouts and everything else, and we'll be painting away. So Forces of Nature is going to be my force. You thinking about joining us this time around, Joe? Or
yeah, you know, it was funny. We were just talking about this the other day, you know, just brainstorming for, you know, different activities that retailers can do with their communities to kind of get people, you know, jazzed up and starting new forces. And I think it'll be perfect to do, you know, as we will eventually talk about the summer campaign. I would most certainly love to do that. I don't know. I think I may be in Vegas that weekend for the Gamma trade show, but we'll definitely check the calendar. But yeah, I think stuff like that needs to happen more often. So if I'm around, I will most certainly like to jump in on Google Hangout for it.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we may have to schedule one for the summer campaign as well sometime along there. So
absolutely.
That'll definitely work out well. So, and I'm still trying to look for my multi-bases. I touched up Wayne up there. And looks like his laser broke down, so I'm waiting to get my laser cut pieces. So where do you usually pick up your multi-bases from, Joe?
You know, people always ask me that question, and I know a lot of guys in the industry that do it, but my go-to is Ironheart Artisans. People always say I'm biased because he's a good buddy of mine, but puts out a great product. You know, he's very fast on the turnaround. He's got a great store offering program as well for any retailers that want to carry it. But then, you know, you've also got Armada Games down in Florida. They do, you know, some really good laser cut work. You know, and there's tons of others, which I think the conversation comes up almost once a week on the Facebook pages of where do I get bases from. So, but yeah, Ironheart and Armada would be my two go-tos.
There you go. Not to mention Mantic does make bases, so, but they
we
don't
do.
Make the full
we
line
do.
Of them. So, yep. You know.
And it's funny, everybody always says to me, you know, hey, you guys make those plastic bases, and, you know, we are going to come out with some additional ones to kind of flush out. You know, all the different sizes, but, you know, it's just something about the laser cut wood, you know, that I just like. And, you know, I started my Forces of the Abyss on it. So whatever I do for that range will always finish and be done in that. So
there you go. Ironheart is a great company. They help support the community quite a bit. Lots of prize support for the tournament. So certainly a tip of the hat to Ironheart Artisans.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Fantastic. All right. Well, hey, Joe, why don't we slide into a quick commercial break? We'll come back on the other side and we're going to talk all about what's new at Mantic and what's up and coming. I'm ready.
Sounds good.
Howdy, this is Mark Cox.
And this is Jeff Swan.
And this is Ryan Smith, and we are the Beer Phase Podcast.
We're three TOs from Texas, and we talk about the most important phase in Kings of War, as well as other games we play, the Beer Phase.
Hang out with us and get our thoughts on hobby, the best beer available, any gaming tactics and current events in the gaming community, as well as guest interviews from people from all over the world that have the same hobbies we do.
So grab a beer and have a laugh with us as we BS about all things wargaming. Check us out on Twitter at TheBeerPhase and TheBeerPhase.podbean.com or on iTunes, The Beer Phase, one word.
Hey, I'm Alessio Cavatore, and you're listening to Counter Charge.
And welcome back. All right, Joe, this is my favorite part. It's where I get to talk to you all about what's happening over there at Mantic Games. So I'm going to lead with my favorite topic, and then we'll just kind of go from there. But my first topic is, in the one newsletter, I saw that we started a resin casting production facility over there, probably in the corner over there at Mantic HQ. But hey, exciting nonetheless. Fill us in.
Sure. You know, it's funny, as small as we are sometimes, and, you know, people, you know, always think that we're larger than we are. We have actually grown pretty significantly over the past 12 to 18 months. And, you know, we've moved locations a couple of times to, you know, facilitate that growth. And one of the big things that we've heard loud and clear from the community was some of the quality, per se, on the metal casting for a lot of the newer miniatures that we had coming out. I, for one, know that putting together 20-plus Molochs for my Forces of the Abyss army, you know, some of those casts did, you know, were a little frustrating to deal with. You know, then you have the weight aspect. So, you know, Ronnie really kind of decided that, hey, we want to take some of that and put that into resin. So obviously that has its own, you know, struggles and trials and tribulations, but we knew that once we got it figured out, the quality of the product would be much higher, and we'd be able to do, you know, some different things with releases down the road. So we will be introducing resin into some kits as they sell through the metal versions. I can't really say in terms of what the prices are going to be. We're going to try to not adjust those at all. But it is going to be something that we're doing in-house. You can see it in some of our miniatures, like the Abyssal Archfiend is done in resin. It's a beautiful kit. You know, we get a lot of compliments on that. So it is very exciting times, but we are just now in the final process of getting the room set up, getting the area set up, because I think people don't understand how much of an undertaking that is to have proper ventilation and proper system set up and new mold-making processes. So it was a lot to do, but definitely very exciting.
Did you guys do that Abyssal Fiend in-house, or that was cast in China maybe or something like that?
Yeah, it was done by a third party. It was cast outside of the warehouse. I can't say for certain if we've ever done anything in-house with resin. We may have tested some things, but again, due to, you know, the availability of our casters outside of the, you know, the warehouse, the guys that we commissioned do that for us, is also a burden. You know, again, there's hundreds of miniature companies out there now, and we're all kind of fighting over that same space, whether it be with plastic tooling or resin casting or metal casting. So you're going to probably start noticing a lot more companies bringing a lot of that in-house. You know, up until a couple of years ago, we didn't do a lot of our own metal casting in-house. So again, bringing a lot of that in so that we have better control over it, you know, and be a little bit more integrated in what we're doing.
Right, right, right. Do we know what type of resin material that we're going to be using for that casting?
That's a great question. They told me in a meeting one day, but I have a very fickle brain at times. And if it doesn't have to do with what I do for the business, sometimes I fade in and out. But I can definitely get that information over to you guys, and something that we can, you know, maybe share as a tweet that you guys can put out. But it's going to be very similar to, you know, the Abyssal Archfiend. You know, and I'm not going to say, oh, it's, you know, it's Forge World quality or it's this quality, because obviously I haven't seen the products yet. But if it's anything like, you know, the Abyssal Archfiend or better, you know, we're all going to be headed into a very happier place when it comes to putting some of these kits together.
Right. I mean, it's always a good idea to wear a mask and stuff like that when you're working with resin. But, you know, I mean, that's one of the big topics is, you know, hopefully it's not the old Forge World super toxic resin. So
yeah, and you know, we talked about that obviously because it's you know, safety concerns for the guys in the warehouse that are going to be doing it. But you know, we're going to put a lot of effort into educating, you know, some of the community who may not have come from an area, you know, or a time where resin was very popular or games that use it. Because again, it is, you know, it is different. You don't want to be sanding that stuff and inhaling it in. You know, I did that plenty without a mask on, and my wife yells at me for it now still. So, you know, you definitely got to be careful with it. It is a lot more fragile. So again, it will be a learning curve for some, but I think in the long run, especially for those veteran hobbyists out there, it is going to be a welcome change.
Oh, absolutely. The resin kits are just phenomenal. So, you know, it's nice to see, and it holds such crisp detail and everything. So we're really looking forward to it. Oh, it's fantastic. All right. So let's see. What do you want to talk about next?
You know, I think the big thing a lot of folks have been asking about is obviously the summer campaign. You know, we hit on it, you know, briefly before the commercial break. You know, it's probably our biggest thing currently going right now with Kings of War outside of the Clash of Kings book. I guess maybe we could touch on that really quick. You know, that's going to be something that's shipping out as of Monday, I believe, the 20th. So that'll be going out to all of the distributors and retailers. And for anybody out there listening that does not understand what that product is, it was kind of a culmination of things we wanted to do with campaigns, tournaments, general organized play, as well as adding some new items, you know, and flavor into Kings of War while making some changes that, you know, we've heard grumbles about in the community. So it's really kind of a bunch of stuff wrapped into one product that we were already going to do that we just kind of decided to add these little bits and pieces into.
There you go. Yeah, I would direct everyone over to Countercharge episode 134 while we go through a deep dive in the organized playbook there with the author, Nick Williams. So,
and I think, you know, one thing I want to hit on with that is that obviously there was a lot of, you know, there was kind of a lot of tension going on out in the community, and there still is, because obviously the book isn't in anybody's hands outside of, you know, I know I've got a copy, and, you know, the guys like Nick Williams who wrote it and the guys who were involved in it have it. But this was in no way us trying to say, hey, you know, you just have to buy this new book now to keep playing the game. That wasn't the idea at all. The changes that were made in the back of that book were more focused around what we were doing in our tournaments for the upcoming year, what a lot of the independents had wanted to see, you know, for changes in certain units or, you know, certain abilities. And my big thing was the added, you know, new items and the spells to kind of keep things fresh, you know, because we heard a lot of that too. Hey, you know, I see the same stuff all the time, or it's the same list, or it's the same this. So I think it's going to be a fantastic product, and I just encourage everybody to go into it with an open mind.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we ran a poll on the Twitter feed, and it came out 90% positive, so which was fantastic. And, good. You know, I personally think that this would be something to do on an annual basis. I mean, you were used to the meta getting shifted every time an army book came out, you know, for Warhammer back in the day. And, you know, you'd have, you know, five or six of those come out. And the game does need a little freshening up. And, hey, you know what? I buy it, and I'm it's not because I'm a huge tournament player. It's just, you know, to have some campaign ideas or to have, you know, do something a little bit different. But out of the book is out of the book, and there's nothing wrong with out of the book, and you can play that way, and you're not behind the curve. Nothing is wrong with that. This is just a little extra spice, and it's optional. It's, you know, if you go to a tournament, you're probably going to play with it, but nobody said that you have to go to tournaments, you know, so to speak. So, you know, I think it caters to the you know, more sophisticated player, and I think it provides options to your home gamer, and so everybody's happy. And I think they talked about doing this with Dreadball at one time, that they were going to have different seasons every year. And, you know, we started with the Azure Forest, and then I don't think it went much further than that. But so I'm excited about it. I've had an opportunity to read part of it, and I really think that it's really a good move. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the biggest frustrations I had from, you know, playing Warhammer competitively, and again, nothing against, you know, GW or anybody that ran those events, you know, was that eventually you got to a point where you were going to multiple events a year, and every single event had different rules or different house rules, you know, erratas and FQs. And, you know, we just want to get to a point that, you know, like you said, you're getting the same experience in terms of the rules. And then we leave the, you know, the scenarios or the type of things that TOs want to do with the event, you know, that's up to them. But we want to make sure that the game stays as pure as possible across, you know, multiple different events. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good change. And, you know, next week will definitely be a telltale sign of how everybody reacts to it.
All right. But, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, you used to have power creep in all the books because they were released. And this is a release that affects all the armies at one time. So, you know, there is no power creep, so to speak. You know, it's been play tested, and it's and that's what I like. It's across the range. Everybody plays at the same time.
Yeah, and I've said to people numerous times, while the guys in the rules committee are great, you know, they're very dedicated to what they do, you're never going to come to a point where something is going to slip through, or a certain combo is missed, or it just wasn't, you know, talked about, or, you know, as much depth put into it. So, you know, just like you said, it's going to be a much needed change. It's going to be fresh. And like I said, I think in a couple weeks' time, it'll all be forgotten and everybody will be having a great time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it, like I said, it's just like when a new book drops, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, I'll give you an example right now. Twitter's all ablaze with the new one book that GW just put out, you know, and it's like, hey, but we're not doing that. It's absolutely. Not an army at a time. It's everybody at the same time.
Absolutely.
Which I think is fantastic. And so now we're going to take this and we've got the new organized playbook and we're rolling right into the summer campaign. So how's that all dovetailing together, Joe?
It's coming along great. You know, I think it's kind of that extra element that Kings of War needed. You know, a lot of guys have been saying, you know, hey, what's the next step? Where's the universe going? Where is, you know, the background and the fluff going to be coming in? And I think this product is, you know, this product and this campaign is really going to kind of bring a lot of that together. There is going to be a book that goes along with the summer campaign. I believe we're going to be running it as a 6-week campaign. Don't hold me to that. It may be a little longer. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be, you know, map based per se or region based. So you're going to be able to play games in different regions. And then depending on, you know, who wins that region, good or bad, different things will happen and they will affect the actual game. You know, so future product releases or book releases that we do, this campaign will have effects on that, which I think is fantastic. You know, a lot of games that you play, you can play in a campaign or you can play in an organized play setting, but it doesn't really actually have an impact on the game itself. And Ronnie's a big fan of that. So, you know, I think that's going to be a very big draw for a lot of people to be involved.
That is going to be big. And of course, I've talked about this a couple times in the show and I'll put the pitch in. I think it would be a great thing to generate novels. So
yes.
telling the story of the summer campaign, I think would be a great way to launch the novel series.
Absolutely. And again, this book allows us to put in some more background, some more stories. You know, and again, we are not as, you know, we don't have as much depth in terms of manpower, so to speak. So a lot of the things like that we do, we outsource or we rely on the community, you know, to put things in there for us. But, you know, I think, you know, between the new book that's coming out for the campaign, we're also going to have some crossover with Dungeon Saga. You know, there's going to be, you know, I think 10 plus new heroes introduced for Kings of War inside of this book. And, you know, they're going to be, again, you know, usable, you know, if guys want to, you know, tournament organizers want to use them in tournaments, it's going to be up to them. But, you know, but again, I think the crossover between those two products is also going to be, you know, it's going to be a good thing.
Are we going to get some of the campaign games similar to the one book that where we have like a Dungeon Saga, you know, scenario that's like kind of like in the middle of the campaign?
I believe so. Yes. I believe there's definitely going to be, you know, we talked about having that stuff incorporated into the book. I don't know how many of those there are going to be, but I know that a lot of these heroes that are getting introduced via this book are going to be usable in Dungeon Saga as well. Obviously the games were done parallel to each other in terms of the universe. So, we have a lot of, you know, kind of leeway in how we go about doing that.
Oh, so basically the outcome of the summer campaign is not only going to affect Kings of War, but Dungeon Saga as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. So now, is the base of the campaign still like the Abyss versus Basileia? Is that still the general gist of it?
I don't know. You know, the Abyss is definitely going to be kind of the center focus. The initial thought was to have those two combative forces. But I think it made it a little narrow in terms of, you know, the storyline. And I think, you know, the Abyss being who they are, the destructive force that they can be, I think it just lends itself better to be, you know, at this point we need to choose sides, you know, who's going to be on the good side, who's going to be on the evil, you know, what are those forces, looking to do with what's going on with the Abyss. So I think, you know, the Abyss is going to be obviously the main antagonist, of what's going on. And then all of the other races and armies will have different roles to play in what's eventually going to happen in the campaign.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, spilling out of the Abyss is, they can basically go a lot of different places. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, with the regions that we're doing, I don't know exactly how many, you know, different locations or regions we're going to do. But what we had talked about doing was, depending on, like I said, if good wins or bad wins, different armies may, again, have different things happen to them later on down the line in terms of units that may be created later for armies or campaigns that we may do that, you know, give different bonuses or things like that to those forces. So I think, you know, it's probably the best product that we've put out for Kings of War since the game was actually created. Uncharted Empires was great. It allowed guys to use the different armies they have. But I think this is the real long-term goal, as you had said too, about, you know, we need more very exciting 6 to 8 weeks once this thing is out and people start playing games.
Oh, there you go. Now, is this going to slow up army releases and they'll come out after the summer campaign, or do you think we'll get something during the summer campaign? I mean, the rumors are out there with the Northern Alliance and things like that. So, Ophidia.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be, I know that there will be new hero miniatures that we're going to do, for the campaign itself. Obviously we've already got, you know, releases lined for, you know, I know that they're, you know, we're going to be doing some Basileian releases and, you know, obviously we want to add new armies. I think one of the biggest things our Kings of War fans forget sometimes is that, you know, while they have been one of our oldest groups, you know, in terms of the company, like you said before, we have so many products that are coming out, Kickstarters that we're fulfilling, Warpath is going to be hitting this year. Dead Zone is still going strong. Walking Dead, obviously. And then, you know, Dreadball right around the corner. So we will continue to get new things, but it just may not be in the scale and scope that everybody may have been hoping. But it will not slow down, you know, what we had already had planned for the year.
Right, right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of pots to be attended to. There's no doubt about it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were pretty stretched when we were doing Mantic Radio, just keeping up with everything. That's why we decided to concentrate on Kings of War. So,
yep.
I mean, there's just a lot of things going on at Mantic. So,
and one of the things that, you know, internally that, you know, myself and the other sales guys have said is that we really do want to see, and I think it's been, you know, mimicked by the community, that I want to see things getting filled in. You know, I want to see units that we don't produce models for, you know, being produced. We know that a lot of people out there want to, you know, support us and be patrons of us. And it's hard to do that when, you know, you may play an army that we don't make, you know, 80% of the miniatures for yet. You know, things like Night Stalkers, you know, Trident Realms was another one. Obviously, that stuff is now coming out between this month and next. So I think that's a big focus, too. We want to be able to give, you know, everybody the resources they need to put, you know, Mantic armies on the table and be able to support us in that way.
Oh, sure. Night Stalkers would definitely be one to put in. I'm sure everyone would love to see what you guys think of Mind Screech looks like. So,
yeah, absolutely.
That would be awesome. Well, I'll look forward to, hopefully we'll get something tied up in that. And of course you can always come back anytime, Joe, to fill us in on that kind of stuff, you know, with upcoming model releases or big armies and things like that. That would absolutely be fantastic.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, hopefully, you know, we're kind of, you know, coming into con season with, you know, Adepticon coming up, and obviously the Masters is happening, you know, next weekend. And, you know, I think that's going to be, you know, after the campaign is done, you know, going through the rest of 2017 into 2018, you know, our big thing is that we know that there is a huge community of guys out there that, you know, are playing at home or playing in local shops that just haven't reached out to us. You know, Kings of War is growing by the day, no matter what you may or may not read on the internet. You know, it's a very strong system for us. And oddly, I think it's just not as a competitive system as people may have thought initially. There's obviously guys that are loving the tournament scene, and the Masters is going very strong. But, you know, a lot of guys enjoy playing this game very casually, big games. You know, the product itself lends it, you know, lends to being able to put 10, 20,000 points on a table and playing a game in a day. So, you know, we're certainly looking long-term at what we're going to do with Kings of War.
Oh, there you go. I love it because I can do 1,000 points in 40 minutes. So, oh,
absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's what I love it for. Fun, fast, and furious, you know. I mean, it certainly scratches that itch for the army game in a short time frame for those that don't have a lot of time.
Exactly. And again, we know, you know, the state of things currently in the community with there's too many games to count out there that are, you know, that fill different roles, and games nowadays they're all fantastic, you know, whichever one you get into. You know, typically nowadays not very many are written poorly. So again, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to hit on all facets of that, you know, just like you said, fast games, big games, tournament games, campaign games. You know, we want to be able to do it all for everybody. So
that's right, the Swiss Army Knife of War Games. That's fantastic. All right, and we talked a little bit about Dungeon Saga, but Dungeon Saga is back in stock.
It is. You know, it's funny. It's silently in the background, just been continuing to sell out every print run that we do. You know, every event that we go to, every con that we go to, you know, it just seems like more and more people haven't heard of it, which is shocking because we've sold so much of it. But it's a fantastic product. You know, again, it's great for the, you know, the younger teenagers. You know, we even see 6 and 7 year olds playing with their dads or their moms. It's a great family game, you know, a great beer and pretzel, you know, Friday night game. And again, you know, it's a great tie into Kings of War. So it'll be here for some time to come. And obviously, you know, we're going to be tying it into the campaign as well. So yeah, definitely very excited with how well it's done.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I just saw a couple more videos on it on YouTube. And so it's just nice to see it continue to kind of go,
yeah,
you know, as far as that goes. I mean, you know, from my perspective, Kings of War gets most of my love, but certainly Colin plays more Dungeon Saga than I do.
Yeah, and it's funny. I always say to people, and you know, they always want to rag on me because, again, my go-to, if I've got spare time, you know, I've got a group of guys that I play with, you know, a couple times a month, and, you know, it's 99.9% of the time we just play Kings of War. It's what we enjoy playing. But again, Walking Dead's fantastic. Dungeon Saga's a great quick game to play. And I think as my kids get older and they want to get involved into different things, you know, you know, who knows, whatever they want to do is probably what I'll end up playing. So
there you go. So any news on this rumored skirmish game for Kings of War that you can divulge or even acknowledge its existence?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you know, Ronnie and his mad ways. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen at some point. You know, we all know kind of the industry right now is a lot of guys want skirmish games because a lot of it has to do with time. You know, you do have a lot more flexibility in terms of models that you can, you know, either, you know, convert yourself or things that we can do. And again, it also ties really nicely into Dungeon Saga. You know, we've got a lot of miniatures that are done in single piece casts, you know, that non-war gamers can get involved in with that. I know the other thing Ronnie really wants to eventually get into is fantasy terrain. You know, our battle zone terrain and our 20th century brick terrain has all done very well. You know, the new industrial line that we just came out with. So if we can turn that into, you know, cottages and castle walls and orc huts and things like that, Ronnie he's always up for that. And he's a fantasy junkie just like I am. So, you know, he definitely wants to do it, but I wouldn't expect it in, you know, in 2017. And I think it would still be a far, far shot for us to get it done in 2018.
All right. Yeah, I figured that's going to be a Kickstarter. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, obviously, you know, our trade presence in terms of retailers stocking our products, while we're always going to want more and we're always going to search for more places and more outlets to have it, has been doing extremely well. More stores are bringing us in. The Walking Dead has helped out with that tremendously. So, you know, I encourage everybody, if you can, buy from your local retailers. obviously, if you're in a place where they may not want to carry it, or, you know, you're just in a place where you don't have retailers, you know, there's going to be other ways you get product. But, you know, we're getting very close to, you know, being able to not have to rely on Kickstarter. You know, the retailers are going to support us. You know, all of our Kings of War books that we've done since the initial one haven't been Kickstarter. You know, Uncharted Empire is the historical book, and those all did, you know, tremendously well. The success has been, you know, phenomenal. So we'll Clash of Kings, also another one. So yeah, we get it. Some people love it, some people hate it. But yeah, we're getting there.
Oh, that sounds good. And that echoes what I always say, pay where you play. Absolutely. If you can't get it, you know, we've got places for you to get it. But, you know, if you can get it from your local retailer, that just helps the company grow. It helps your local retailer grow, and it gives you a place to play.
Yeah.
So it's always a good, that's a win-win-win right across the board. Absolutely. Well, speaking of Kickstarters, you guys have got Star Saga floating around out there, and I think there's some fantastic models in there for Kings of War. So, and then I think the Pledge Manager, maybe you can tell everybody a little bit about Star Saga if they haven't heard about it, and then maybe catch us up, because I think the Pledge Manager is closing at the end of the month.
It is. It is very, very close to closing. And, you know, Star Saga is a pretty exciting project for us because it's, again, it's our own IP. It's something that we've done, you know, on our own, you know, and it really is taking a game like Dungeon Saga and moving it into that sci-fi genre. The miniatures are fantastic looking. You know, now the gameplay is not going to be identical. It is definitely going to have some changes to it, but I think the biggest thing, like you said, that's been drawing a lot of guys to it is the miniature range. You know, we've done some really nice, you know, sculpts for that, and again, I think, you know, doing a dungeon crawl, so to speak, in space is also always very intriguing. You know, products like Space Hulk have done, you know, extremely well over the years. So yeah, we're excited. I think if you're into, you know, small scale, quick-paced games that, you know, can be played on the kitchen table. If you've played Dungeon Saga or things like that, I would most certainly go check out Star Saga.
Right. Is the link to the Pledge Manager on the website? Or
I believe so.
I know it was in the newsletter.
Yeah, I believe so. I know, you know, but again, anybody out there that's looking, if you go to Kickstarter and just type in Star Saga, it'll come up. And I know that there's a link for it on the actual Kickstarter page. And, you know, there's a quick, you know, video that you can watch on, you know, what exactly Star Saga is. And then you get to see a lot of the great, you know, miniatures and sculpts that are on there. So, again, I think quietly it'll be a very successful product that we'll be able to print many, many times over. You know, and it'll be something that, you know, while it's not a board game, it'll definitely sell like one. And it can be, you know, played over and over again like one.
Well, I keep telling Ronnie not to be afraid of the word board game.
Oh, no.
Saga's done well. Star Saga will do well. And The Walking Dead is a miniatures game, but it's played on a board, so it counts.
You know, it's funny. We always use that word internally, and we were like, yeah, it's a board game. And Walking Dead, it's a board game. But again, we're all miniatures guys, so we end up getting really overzealous and carried away when it comes to sculpting the miniatures. And, you know, that's who we are at heart. You know, will we ever go down the meeple route, as they say, in terms of just kind of like little pieces that represent things? Maybe. But I think we all just love and see, you know, love and to see cool new stuff on the table. So,
and you know what, actually miniatures are the way to go. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Tom Vassell about that, you know. Yeah, but the miniatures are really cool, and you know, they're required now. You know, stand-ups, they don't matter anymore. You know, you got to have those miniatures to make the games pop.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think board games are just miniatures are required now.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, you see a lot of you know, even companies like Fantasy Flight and other places with, you know, different, you know, their Star Wars games, and again, they're all producing the miniatures. So yeah, I mean, we may get closer and closer to, you know, more confined, you know board game type things, but again, you know, we're having a lot of fun. You know, we were able to put out Walking Dead at a fantastic price to, you know, bring in a lot of those board game customers. So yeah, we're very excited, and you never know what Ronnie's gonna, you know, spin out next. So
yeah, I mean, The Walking Dead for 50 bones, man, what a bargain. That really excellent price point.
Yeah, we were, you know, when we first, you know, put everything out, you know, internally, we didn't know, you know, exactly the contents or what was going to come in there. And when Ronnie came back and said, hey, you know, we're going to do it at $50 and there's going to be, you know, 18 miniatures in there plus everything you need to play. It was like, oh, okay. You know, we thought we were going to be working with five or six minis and, you know, the contents, the counters and everything out to play. But no, it's been great. You know, the boosters coming in at $20, expansions at, you know, 30 to 40. It's been a great range. Retailers have really shined to it. And it's one of the few things that you can really just walk in and say, okay, I'm going to spend $100 and I've got everything, or I'm going to spend $200 and I've got, you know, the first two waves. So, yeah, it's been great. And it's definitely been a blast to go out there and sell to everybody.
Fantastic. So anything else that we missed here? We're going to round up. I think I've got one more question, but I'm going to let you see if you answer it in the wrap up.
No, I mean, I think, you know, for us, it's definitely been pedal to the metal lately. You know, the resin, you know, casting, while not a new product, is definitely something that's going to, I think, help out a lot with, you know, some of the complaints that we've gotten for, you know, quality, or, you know, just again, that burden of carrying around, you know, a ton of metal. The summer campaign is going to be great. Clash of Kings coming out next week. I'm excited to, you know, I'm a huge tournament guy myself. I haven't been able to play a lot lately. But the, you know, just kind of keeping up on the Masters and seeing what's going to happen next weekend with that. I'm hoping to next year to be involved. If I can actually get back out to start playing again. But yeah, I mean, you know, other than that, we're just, you know, selling, trying to keep everything in stock that's coming out. So.
Fantastic. I guess the last thing I wanted to ask is, we've got that potential book coming at the end of the year. Any more news on that, or is it still kind of a little nebulous at this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, with so much stuff that we've had coming out, you know, some things are, you know, they don't necessarily tell us about or update us about on, you know, but it could happen. You know, I don't think we have everything cemented for, you know, the last quarter of the year. You know, it could be a December release. We don't typically do too much in December in terms of, you know, big releases or new armies. So that could be something that you could see, you know, as a December release.
There you go. Something for underneath the Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and slide into a quick commercial break? We'll come on the other side, do some announcements, and wrap up the show.
Quiet down, boys. I'm trying to listen to Dead Zone, the podcast. Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. My name is Hiroku, and I'm your friendly neighborhood plague lord. Why, yes, I do enjoy listening to Dead Zone, the podcast, at deadzonegame.podbean.com. Even if it is hosted by two pathetic humans destined to be part of our glorious plague. With that gunfire, damned enforcers are always interrupting my podcast time. Don't forget to go to deadzonegame.podbean.com for all your Dead Zone listening pleasure. Now, to destroy these damnable enforcers.
I'm Grant Alexander from the Bexley Reapers, and you're listening to Countercharge.
And welcome back. We covered all of the tournaments in excruciating detail last episode, so I'm just going to mention them and the dates. And of course, all the links are in the show notes, so that you can check out these tournaments and know where to go and get some information on them. So, but first one coming up, Manticon. That's going to be March 3rd through 5th. And that's going to be fantastic. You're not going to Manticon, are you, Joe?
No, I think I'm going to be pretty much tied up until late summer. So anything in around September onwards, I might be able to make. But before that, probably not.
There you go. Next up is going to be the Crucible there in Orlando, Florida, March 31st through April 2nd. And then there's the Slaughter in the Southeast. That's happening in the UK. And that's going to be happening on April 15th. Our friend Grant Alexander is going to be putting on that tournament, so you can check that out. And then, of course, the Lone Wolf GT. We're going to miss you there, Joe. That's going to be a hell of a party.
Yeah, I think, you know, the guys down there are always kind of, hey, you're going to come down? When are you going to be down? It's certainly, I think, the first chance I get to travel out to a two-day event, you know, that will probably be the event. Now, I'm not a drinker, so those guys will be a little disappointed in me there. So they might have to just make fun of me the whole weekend for that. But no, I've heard nothing but good things. And, you know, I think it'll be some top quality Kings of War play going on.
Oh, yeah, it should be fun. The guys that are coming in from the UK, it should be a lot of fun. So I don't know if anybody can keep up with those Texas boys except for the Texas boys. So
yeah,
I'm not even
going
to try. Not even going to try. So absolutely. And then, of course, Rob is going to be running TNT May 19th through the 21st there in Nashville, Tennessee. And that should be a lot of fun, too. I haven't quite figured out if I'm going to go. I'm trying to get some time off of work and free up a day so I can try to make it down there. So it should be fun. And that is, you know, of course, sponsored by us here at Countercharge, which is fantastic. All right. So, Joe, how can people follow the adventures of Joe Neat?
Oh, I don't even know how I follow the adventures of Joe Neat lately. I'm definitely going to try to, I'm going to be doing some stuff with the, you know, with the summer campaign. I'm going to be trying to, you know, build a new army. I'm going to try to do some, you know, some progress updates on our blog and through Facebook. But I'm on Twitter. You know, guys can, you know, search my name. You know, I try to be as active as I can through the Kings of War Fanatics page, you know, and, feel free, you know, I don't hide my email from anybody. It's joe.neat@manticgames.com. So if you ever have a question or if you have a shop that you play at that you'd like to see the product put in, you can feel free to reach out to me, you know, via email, Twitter, Facebook, you know, any which way is fine by me.
There you go. Yep. You can always find Joe on our Twitter community, so which is fantastic. So it's always good to see you out there. I love that you got one of the Trident Realms wave guys, so the water elementals on there. So
yeah, I just, you know, again, everybody's got, you know, I don't know, sometimes, again, everybody says I'm biased because I work for the company, but you know, I can definitely tell you that, you know, there's definitely models that we've done or, you know, have produced that, you know, aren't my favorite, but I just know I didn't understand the hate for a water elemental. It's water, you know, and I think there's so many elementals that have been done that end up looking the same. You know, fire elementals just look like water elementals. They're just painted different. So I thought it was unique. They're little waves that have, you know, fish and octopus and rocks floating in them. You know, were the bases that we did or paint jobs that were done by the painter, did they accentuate all the details perfectly? Maybe not. But hey, you know, I stood in solidarity with my water elemental brethren. So, you know, I'm a fan of them. And, you know, like I said, so it was more of a joke to everybody else at the time that was, you know, hating on them.
Hey, I love the body surfing octopus, man. That is fantastic. Those are definitely on my pickup list.
Yeah. And again, those are going to be, you know, while they will be metal initially, those are going to be the type of kits that we will want to transition to a resin cast. You know, things like the Abyssal Molochs or the Elementals, things like the Centaurs, you know, for Forces of Nature and the new Earth Elementals, all of those types of kits at some point in the future, you know, we won't know exactly when, but you know, we want to get those in that new material.
Oh, there you go. Well, hey, I'm building Centaurs and Earth Elementals and Heavy Metal right now, and those Earth Elementals are heavy.
Yes, they are, and bless your heart for putting together those Centaurs, because 28 pieces for 5 models was not what we intended. So,
yeah, well, hey, you know, I had to have some in my army, so definitely putting those together and had to get those, because I love that little Stone Priest guy, man. I love him. He's a great little, and he's a single pose sculpt too. I mean, but I love that little guy. So he's gonna, those Earth Elementals are gonna serve in 2 armies at least.
There you go.
So that's gonna be awesome. All right, my final shout out tonight is I got word from Mike Carter that the Ohio War Kings has actually expanded to the Cleveland area. How about that, Joe?
There you go.
Yeah, I know. These guys, I think they're playing out of Gamers Haven there in Parma, Ohio, but I'm not positive about that, but I think this is that group. And so a shout out to Will, Jordan, Derek, Paul, and Robert. They are the Outriders here, so to speak, here for the Ohio War Kings in the Cleveland, Ohio area. So congratulations, guys, for joining up with Mike Carter, and a tip of the hat. Hopefully I'll get to run across you at the gaming table sometime in the near future. So Sounds good. Any other words of wisdom, Joe, before we cut out for the night?
No, like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on. And, you know, for everybody out there, definitely, go out to your shops, pick up that Clash of Kings book, whether you're a tournament guy, casual guy, or just like to read, the stuff that we put out. I think it's a fantastic product. The cheapest book that we've put out to date, most cost effective at $19.99. Definitely check it out. And a lot of the community guys have put effort into that too. So, guys like Chris Kastmer and, the other guys in the community that have taken time to, not just the rules committee. I know he's a part of that now, but, so definitely check it out. Give those guys some love, and, hopefully I have some more updates for you guys the next time I'm on.
Hey, Joe, you have an open invitation whenever you're ready. So yeah, I think there's some stuff from Mike Carter in there, Mark Cox. So it's certainly a book to pick up, guys. I personally enjoyed the one little area that talked about making your own units. That is perfect for being at home. So this is not all about tournaments. So definitely check that book out. All right. Thanks again, Joe, for joining me. And until next time, folks, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.